Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning. Hey, everybody. How glad you joined us. Merry Christmas to you. We are here with 93.3, bringing you this great show every week, Tallahassee Talks. Wow. Having so much fun. Halsey Bashir's representative for the 7th District will be our guest in this first hour. You want to be sure and stay tuned for that. Heather Thomas will have another Women to Watch contribution. And we've got Tim Linnefelt standing by in the studio with an expanded edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. All of that coming your way in this next 2 hours, and we will be right here with you. So stay tuned.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive for accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
Truck and Car Concepts. One-stop shop for tricking out your truck.
Folks, the backup camera system has become a standard in most of the new vehicles, and you don't have to buy a new vehicle in order to have the safety and protection of the standard. Come in to Truck and Car Concepts. We can install a backup camera system that's going to give you the safety and protection for $399 and up.
Everything is here from A to Z.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
So what a great Saturday here in the middle of the Christmas season. Glad you've tuned in. Glad that we had the opportunity to tell you some of the cool stuff that's been going on around town this week. It's what Tallahassee's talking about. Man, so many great festivals being celebrated. The Winter Festival, of course, last weekend. If you got to see the Help Us Help Christmas Connection parade entry, we were out there escorting the good folks that make Help Us Help Christmas Connection all come together, with Alcom Marketing leading the way. And that was just a, if you haven't seen it, go to helpchristmasconnection.com. Go to the Facebook page. That's where a good place to go. And look at the parade entry. It was a lot of fun. Good crowd. We had, at the same time in the week, some happenings with the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce with their Professional Women's Forum that happened on Thursday this – no, when was that? It was Wednesday this week. And we had a great opportunity over there. So I had a chance to talk with Commissioner Nancy Miller, and her daughter Betsy Couch was the keynote speaker, along with Nick Williams, who is their marketing director. So let's listen in. We've got a few sound bites there for you from the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce Professional Women's Forum luncheon.
I've got Nick Williams here, the manager of communications and marketing for the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. Nick, this is quite an event. This is the annual Christmas Professional Women's Forum, is it not? And here you and I are hanging out with the likes of these folks, huh?
We are. We're here at the December version of the Professional Women's Forum. We've got over 200 professional women within our community. We're going to be having a fashion show today showing different looks for the holiday season. And we've got vendors and lunches about to kick off.
From what I can see, the Chamber is doing a great job. What do you think?
Absolutely. The room is packed today, and I think that definitely shows that the economy is doing great and people are here to network, make connections, and to grow their business and look forward to the new year.
Thanks, Nick. So we have Betsy Couch, who is an adjunct professor, Florida State University College of Communications, with us, the keynote speaker today at the Women's Forum for the Professional Women's Forum here for the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. Betsy, your topic is?
Today I'm talking about branding and specifically your personal brand. I'm giving 5 tips on how to build a better personal brand, because in the business world, we all know that it's more than just business, it's personal.
And in that way, can you give us one sneak preview? What are one of those 5 tips?
Know your brand and portray it in everything you do, in your social activities, your professional activities, your interest area activities. You always want to make sure that you're positively portraying your personal brand.
We know you well from the show. You've been a guest on the show with Women to Watch, Heather Thomas. You're a visionary, and I would say with all modesty on your behalf, someone who's getting things done. What's your drive? Where are you going with this?
My drive is to make Tallahassee a better place to live, work, and play. I raised my children here. I grew up here. And so I think it's a great community, and I want to see Tallahassee to continue to be a great community and to even get better.
You think the Tallahassee Chamber is doing a good job?
I think the Tallahassee Chamber is essential in making Tallahassee a better place to live, work, and play.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you.
So we have Commissioner Nancy Miller with us here, the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce Professional Women's Forum. Commissioner Miller, this has got to be a special day for you, because somebody very near and dear to you is the keynote speaker.
Well, that's true, Brian. She is very dear. Betsy Couch, my daughter, she's going to be the speaker today. And she is very dear to my heart, but the fact is I'm here because I want to hear what she has to say. I've heard some snippets of it, and that caused me to call several other women and tell them that it was going to be a great talk. This is such a terrific opportunity for professional women in general. The way the chamber puts on these forums for women, for professional development. But I think today is going to be a really, really valuable lesson for a lot of people, and people are going to be taking a lot of notes.
We face a number of challenges in the year ahead, and I suppose this might be a time to say, when you look at those ways in which the city can do better, what's the first thing that comes to mind, do you think?
Well, you know, I don't think we really communicate well enough all of the good works that the city government is doing for people and in people's lives, and all of the things that are going on in this community with great participation from government, moving the city forward in a really dynamic way, really improving our economy here, our job picture. Looking to incorporate the university, build on the town-gown relationship. I mean, there's just so much we're doing that is so positive while we still protect our quality of life, because we still have that culture that wants to be a beautiful city, wants clean water, wants beautiful trees in our community. All of that is happening. We're able to keep all that and still move forward. We, as a government, I don't think are communicating effectively enough how much a part the city of Tallahassee does play in all of that.
In fairness, what are you most proud of?
My daughter and my son. I mean, I have 2 awesome children. They've got great grandchildren, and we're literally, going to take over the city here one of these days.
I was thinking of city achievements, although I appreciate your personal feelings. How about the city of Tallahassee? What have we done best, do you think, in this year?
My gosh, one of the most important things that government is playing a huge part in is Cascades Park. Cascades Park and the attendant supporting projects of Franklin, Gaines, South Monroe, Lafayette Street. That is going to change our downtown. It is, let's face it, the universities are really an industry here in Florida. In Tallahassee, people think of government, but the universities are major, and we are now linking them all together. We are making this an attractive place for people to come, and they're going to want to stay when they get here, because there's going to be a lot to do, and it's going to be a pretty place to be.
Folks, you have to say, she's got her priorities straight. A mom, a commissioner, and a great woman to know here at the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce Professional Women's Forum. Commissioner Nancy Miller, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
So what do we know? We know that Tallahassee is on the move. It's a great time of year. And those comments, along with those we're going to be hearing from Representative Halsey Bashirs, he'll be with us here right after the break. Man, it's a great time to be in Tallahassee. Stay with me.
Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widden is known for taking care of business. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
He is a Republican member of the Florida House of Representatives, representing the 7th District. Halsey Bashirs is our guest this morning. How are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic. Getting better by the minute, being right here with you, Brian.
Well, it's in fact our pleasure because for so many months, it's been on our list to get in front of you and have a chance to sit back a little bit, to get out of the daily grind and the spotlight and, you know, sit back. Tell us what's on your mind this morning. What, when you think of the role that you play in representing us here in the 7th District in the state of Florida, what's going on? What's near and dear to your heart?
Well, I'll tell you what's on my mind this morning is this beautiful weather, first of all. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous outside. So this is one of those great moments. You're so proud and glad to live right here in North Florida.
It does happen. And in fact, here we are in the middle of Christmas season, and we're celebrating so many good things about not only Tallahassee and the area of North Florida, about the things that really are near and dear to our hearts. And living in Tallahassee, which by all accounts represents the fact that the first Christmas was celebrated in the New World, right in our own midst. And we've got Bert Pope over there trying to remind us of that. Does that play in for you at this time of year? Is your family big into the Christmas celebration?
You know, I'll tell you what, Brian, real quick, though, on the first Christmas, it's interesting you brought that up. We actually, there was a house memorial last year for people to understand that this is where the first Christmas was celebrated. And so every time this time of year, I have three little girls who are my absolute life. And so it's easy for me to get into the Christmas spirit right now. But being a business owner and having a lot of employees that they depend on us and they depend on our company, I do get into it because I realize that we're very fortunate to be where we are. And that's not just a line. This is the most fantastic place to live. Florida is a beautiful, it's a wonderful state. Yeah. And compared to what's going on in the rest of the country right now, this is one of the best places to be right here, is in not just North Florida, but in this state.
And you really are a down-home boy, aren't you?
I am. I'm from Monticello. I've been there most of my life. I can't say all my life because I'm not dead yet. And so I am. I'm just an average guy that puts on his jeans and his boots just like anybody else. And the reason I'm here today is just I got tired of sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah. How did that all come about? Tell us what your beginnings were.
You know, I won't get into my life-changing epiphany, if you will, but at the end of the day, I really came to the conclusion, something that was brought to my attention about 10 years ago, you know, and a lady in Gainesville from Alachua County, who was a county commissioner, she told me, she said, the world is run by the people who show up. Hmm. And that really kind of stuck with me. It bounced around in my head, and it's not that I'm here to run the world, but I just realized that if you want to make a difference, there are two ways to do it. You can step up and be part of the game, or you can just sit there on the sidelines and complain about it. And I got tired of sitting on the sidelines and just watching things happen. I'm not the best or the brightest. I'll be the first to say it, but by golly, I decided to show up.
But you certainly had a lot going on. I mean, Simpson Nursery, for its part, is a multi-million-dollar organization that produces, among other things, probably the most steady and widest reaching supply of pecan trees in the world. So right out of Monticello, Florida. How did the company get started in your family?
Real quick, Simpson Nursery started in 1902 right there in Monticello. The Simpson brothers started it. And all the way into the late 50s, the second generation had, as a matter of fact, the Simpson brothers ended up taking it over and selling it to a company called Growplant. And one of those brothers ended up in Florida politics himself as a Speaker of the House.
Uh-huh.
56 or 58, I believe.
What about you Jefferson County guys?
Yeah,
you just can't leave things alone.
an interesting side note, Growplant was the name of the company that bought it, and it was the first publicly traded company in the country right there in Jefferson County. And my father got involved right out of college in the late 60s, and he was there for about a year and a half when Growplant was operating on the downside, went bankrupt, turns out. And he and six partners, all from Monticello there, bought it out of bankruptcy court in 1974. We moved back here then and been here since. Long story short, we've just evolved from that. It was it was tough growing up. It was a... It's not all glory and pretty. Farming's always hard. We're the biggest gamblers there are on the entire world, Brian.
Yeah.
We roll the dice right now on things 2 and 3 and 4 years out.
Not a whole lot of subsidy there for pecan trees.
No, there's not, you know, particularly in ornamentals. But, you know, pecans are, my dad would love to hear you say this right now, Brian. I can tell you what. But pecans are what fed us, and they're what helped put us through school, and they're what helped us get us where we are today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's been a comeback in the country on pecans, as a matter of fact.
Who cannot like pecans?
That's
especially
right.
At Christmas time.
That's
What's the matter
right.
with you people? You haven't ever had pecan pie? I mean, you can't call yourself a Southerner.
That's a Southern.
It's
and
like
a,
not eating grits
right.
or something. Come on.
That's exactly
get with
right.
It. So here you are, a hometown guy, Jefferson County, Monticello, Simpson Nursery, long-time relationship with this community, and you're saying that something clicked in you where you said, I want to make a difference. Now, that was a few years back, and here you are today. Is the difference that you hoped to make happening?
Sure. I mean, I guess like anything else, it's not happening as fast as you want it to, but, you know, that's life. It's we don't all get what we want all the time. And so people talk about in politics, to be successful, you have to compromise and learn to get along. Mm. You know, and I would say that's true in anything. That's true in your marriage. That's true in life. That's true in business. It's certainly true in politics. And we're at such a loss right now in a country because we just can't seem to find our way there. Mm. But there's so many people that are hung up on one side or the other. And I think that's why on a state level, I really believe we're in so much better shape here. And that's due to leadership. That's due to the right people. And that's due to a House and a legislator, I think, and a governor that they have decided, hey, we got to do what's best for everybody and what's best for ourselves, and we got to learn to get along.
You think the combative nature of politics that we see in Washington is equally represented here in Florida? Do you find among your colleagues the same sort of wrangling, or is it a bit more cooperative, or what's your take on all that?
I think it's absolutely more cooperative. I mean, think about it. Who wants to be around somebody that's antagonistic all the time? And it just, you don't find yourself in a good place, and people like that are generally unhappy. And I'm not saying that, you know, Congressman Steve Sutherland's unhappy. It's just he's in a tough spot federally for those people because there's such a divide there. And I think it starts all the way at the very, very top. But, here in Florida, the legislature, I think that we find a way to get along, and we find to agree, or we agree to disagree. And so look at Tallahassee right here. And, I mean, I'll shout out to Alan Williams and Michelle Rowinkle-Vassalinda. You know, Senator Bill Monford, all Democrats. But I look at them as my absolute counterparts. They've been nothing but nice and amicable towards me. They've done nothing but try to help me since I've been here as a Republican freshman member. And it's not that they realize too, we all do, we're here to get along, and we can't do anything if we don't cooperate.
Did you come into office with a kind of list or an agenda, some initiatives that you really hoped to advance, or was it a bit more generalized for you?
It was a little more generalized. I didn't have an agenda. I mean, it was simply as much, Brian, as me standing on the sidelines and going, you know what, I've had enough. I want to make a difference, and I want to help. So being the business guy on the other side of the table, per se, testifying to committees on why this policy may work or won't work for agriculture, why it won't work for business.
So you were coming at it from that
standpoint, at it from that perspective.
Having experienced it, right.
And now sitting on the other side of the table with the yes or no button in front of me makes a big difference.
Yeah.
But it's seeing and it's hearing both sides of the story as well. And I just didn't feel like we had enough of that. The true business owner that was representative here in the House.
Talking with Representative Halsey Bashirs this morning here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. It takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tin it. Truck and Car Concepts. 656-8800. Give us a call. I will try not to sing out of key.
Yeah. Oh, baby, if you have just joined us, we have with us in studio this morning Representative Halsey Bashirs with the 7th District, which, by the way, for those of us who are less educated than we ought to be, that does include Leon, Wakulla County, along with, five other counties around us, or is it six other counties? Seven? Total of how many counties? 10. I can't count that many fingers.
Total of 10 counties.
10 counties.
And the only partial county I have is Leon.
Okay. So in that regard, that's a pretty good swatch. How are those folks along the coastal communities decidedly different, if they are, from your constituents here in Leon? I mean, different issues. I mean, they're dealing with Gulf Coast issues. They're dealing with marine life and the BP oil spill and all the stuff that's gone on the last 25 years. Not been an easy time if you're an oysterman or a shrimp guy down there. Does that tend to draw you more toward their needs? I mean, are you beset with something like that where it really just demands more of your time?
You know, Brian, it does require some more of your time, but really in general, there's no difference in the southwestern part of Leon County, the portion I have, or Franklin or Jefferson or Madison. Every county and every part of this district is unique in its own needs somewhat. But for the most part, the general population, we're all good people here. We're all from here. And we just won't be left alone. We want government out of the way. And so nobody wants anything that they don't feel like they've earned. And that certainly isn't the case for anyone in Franklin County. You got a bunch of oysterman and fishermen over there. And I've said this from day one, my whole life been going over that way. I am a farmer and the fisherman is my brother. They want to work the sea just like we work the land. And nobody is a better steward of the earth than the farmer or the fisherman. They're not going to pollute. They don't want to do any more out there than they have to. They don't want to take anything out of the sea that is going to hurt them in the long run.
How about these guys that are farming oysters? Now, actually, they have this new method, right, where they are planting, in effect, oysters and then harvesting. That's pretty
Yeah, aquaculture cool. is something that's going to have to evolve here with the changing of the system, if you will, over there that's coming out of the Apalachicola River. Because of the change in the fresh water, it's affected the way they grow oysters. And there's a lot of other circumstances that have brought us to this point. It's the perfect storm.
Yeah.
But really, to hit the crux of it, you know, those guys over there, they work their tail off. They just want the opportunity to be able to earn their keep. And so we've got a problem now, though, in how fast these oysters are growing. And we've got to change our harvesting practices. We've got to change the way we operate in order for these guys to continue to make a living. And it's going to be a combination maybe of aquaculture. It's going to be a combination of harvesting practices. There's a lot of different things that got to happen. But point is, those guys, they just want to earn their way. They don't want to hand out.
Are you involved in a lot of those water management issues? You mentioned the Apalachicola River.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Water is kind of the underlying, probably most important factor that we all have in common in the entire state of Florida. And it's finally, I'm sorry that it's taken this long for the Apalachicola water wars and the whole problem up here. It's at a disaster point for it to finally get the recognition it's needed. We've been having a problem for years.
Long time.
But now it's gotten national recognition. It's gotten the recognition it needs in order to do something. Unfortunately, it may be too late, so we've got to do something.
You look forward now. Here we are on the threshold of the new year and the next term. what is most pressing in your mind? Is it agricultural? Is it economic in general? The development of local economies? Is it all about, you favor the idea that government is best when it is limited in its scope, or how do you approach that whole question of the role of government, I guess?
You know, and I'll speak first of all on what I think the general consensus is for most everybody in District 7, and they think that government should be limited. Mm. You know, we really just want government out of the way. Farmers, business people, all alike, conservatives by nature, they just say, hey, we know how to operate and we do it best without as little mm-hmm. as government intervention as possible. We just don't need it. So I think that what's pressing in 2014 are a few things, but I'll just stick to three in particular. You know, one, agriculture is the underlying, probably most important economic principle that affects everything in the entire state of Florida, politically, economically, socially. And it's taken here in the last 5 years, it's really come to the front burner because the state realizes how important it is.
Yeah.
With the fall of tourism, with the fall of housing starts, with all this economic collapse, agriculture is the one base layer that's continued to be there, continue to create jobs.
Yeah.
So secondly, I think water is probably the synergistic with what is how it's so important. We got the Apalachicola River Basin here. We got everything that's happened to change the diversity and of the what's happened in the entire bay. You got all the way down the Ocotlani River. You got freshwater, wastewater issues that continue to pop up all over the state. So water is something that we're going to continue to have to work with, as Commissioner Adam Putnam said, here forever. Mm. And it's going to be more important in the next 20 years.
When you look at where we are, let's talk about Tallahassee particularly, and of course this whole last year and a half or so, there's been a tremendous celebration, almost a kind of a euphoria, I think, about the revisioning of or envisioning of the Tallahassee we expect for the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years. And we've tried to do our best here with Tallahassee Talks in bringing folks to the mic, like J.T. Burnett and Jim Pate and various folks, KCCI and all that, that have talked about these various places and manner, the manner in which they're working together to try to advance Tallahassee. What do you think Tallahassee's best shot is at the future? What will we be most like, do you imagine?
I think that it's a couple of things, but the great part about this Imagine Tallahassee concept that I think is so important in the future is people want to be proud to be from here, from Tallahassee, and I think they are. But we're looking for a brand almost or something to say, hey, this is the best part to live in the entire state. Mm. We get a change of seasons. There's plenty of employment opportunities here. There's a good school systems. This is a safe place to raise your family. There's still conservative, good values around here, and there's good people. It's a small hometown feel, but it's big enough to get out and get some culture in. So those combination of things are, I think, what's important for the future of Florida and for the future of Tallahassee. Mm. And that ties into just, at the end of the day, people want to be happy right here. And yeah. You need that combination of all those factors, those common denominators, if you will.
Yeah.
And once you have that, Tallahassee will absolutely boom.
Yeah. You think we're heading in the right direction?
I absolutely do. And, J.T. Burnett, he's a good friend of mine. And I think that him and the people who are spearheading that thing, it takes a real macro perspective and able to pull that off. And this isn't a quick fix, throw a little money at it, yeah. And it's going to change tomorrow. This is a 20-30 year deal. You know, this is a change in the landscape of Tallahassee, if you will, for the future, for when my right. kids are my
right.
age.
Right.
And it takes people like that and visionaries like that with that kind of attitude and that belief and that willingness to work at it from a lot of different angles
yeah.
in order for it to succeed.
You've lived here a long time and you've been in business a long time. It's been observed that if we change the faces in the process of going through this imagining of Tallahassee or the reshaping of Tallahassee, but we don't change the process by which decisions are made, then we're probably just changing chairs. You know, we haven't really taken the initiative to bring more people into the conversation who otherwise might find themselves disenfranchised. It might even be similar to the way you felt here you are running Simpson Nursery, on the outside looking in, trying to figure out, wait a minute, how do we affect the process by which these decisions are made? How do you speak to that?
I think it still boils down to people. You're not going to change the process per se, but you have to change. You can change the attitude, and you can put the right people in the right places with the right attitude. And I think that you can change the world with a different attitude. And that's what it'll take right here. You put people in here that want to make Tallahassee a super special place. You put people in there with a can-do attitude rather than a can't-do attitude. You put people in there who think, I believe and know we can change this and together we can do it, versus people that go, well, you know, you're never going to do it because you're going to fight the process. People is where it's all boils. People is what it all boils down to, Brian, and that's where it starts.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning, 93.3 FM, our home station, Freedom 93, are there online for you to review, including today's broadcast, so you can, you know, start texting all of your friends and say, hey, did you know Representative Beshears was on Tallahassee Talks this morning? That's awesome! And then they can go, oh, right, and then they go to the website and they can listen, and he'll get even more fan mail. Isn't that great? Yeah. Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back. Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merrymaids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's why we rely on Merrymaids right here at our studios, because, you know, I need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merrymaids make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even free consultation. And as a new customer, when you sign up for 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400, because they'll spend that first visit doing the deep cleaning you've probably been wanting to do for yourself. But don't do that. Call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done. Right here in Tallahassee, 386-2205, or online at merrymaids.com. So we are back with Representative Paul Beshears, who has graciously joined us on this eve of Christmas. Here we are, Christmas midweek, mid-celebration. We've got another few days ahead of us, a week or so before Christmas arrives. And Merry Christmas, everybody, by the way. Merry Christmas to you, by the way.
Merry Christmas to you, Brian.
And, you know, we were enjoying the fact that North Florida is such a special place, and all the Christmas celebrations that take place in Tallahassee and around the various communities and churches. And golly, just if you haven't seen a church musical this weekend, what's wrong with you?
There's
two dozen of them
there.
And, of course, the various theaters and performing houses are all just full of great stuff, and shopping malls are brimming with, I mean, come on. This is a good time of year, and it's a good time for us, I would think, to look at where we're going and what we have to be thankful for. We also have, at the same time, some challenges. And, you know, I think about some of the things you were sharing earlier in regard to the motivation. You know, here you grew up in a family that was largely agricultural in nature. I mean, Simpson Nursery and the family business, and watching those things that your parents struggled with, and what you've had to be challenged with even as a businessman. So as you've gotten involved, here you are in this freshman class of representing District 7. Are there things that you think we are still not getting? We seem to be missing the point or missing the mark. Are we still sort of gone astray, especially when it comes to economic issues? You know, the governor has taken a lot of criticism for his determination to sort of balance the budget, we'll say, or balance the at least the expenditures against income. What do you think we need to do that's up ahead of us?
I wish I had a $6 million. I wish I had the silver bullet answer for that, Brian. But all I can do is give you a simple country boy's thoughts and perspective. And so I actually heard a legislator say this the other day, and it doesn't matter. I'm not going to call their name, but you know, we need to continue to try and make this a business-friendly climate. It doesn't matter if economy's up or down. At the end of the day, businesses create jobs. Capitalism, some people may have a problem with capitalism in this country, but capitalism is still the best political and economic factor that makes us great. And so whether we're in a recession, out of a recession, you have to continue to help businesses grow. You have to continue to keep regulation out of the way. And when you do that, when you create jobs, the multiplier effect will always be there. And by that, it doesn't matter. You need enterprise zones. You need areas of where you're always trying to help grow business. And if we continue to do that, and that's been the governor's philosophy from day one, that will help get you out of any quagmire that you may be in as a country or state. And it's certainly working here.
You have 10 counties under your leadership as a representative. And I wonder how it is for you. When you spend your days, how do you spend them? Are you out trying to stay in touch with all of that? The schedule must be pretty fierce. How do you stay abreast of the things that people in Liberty County care about as against, let's say, southeastern Leon County?
Well, I have two great aides to start with, Ben Murphy and Vicki Summerhill. They do a great job of balancing it and keeping me on the go, that's for sure, as well as my phone rings off the hook all the time. But you know what?
Are you candid about that? You let people have your cell number? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I throw it out there. I mean, I'll tell you, it's 850-274-1084. And I've always put that out there. And so I didn't sign up for this to just do it part-time. I mean, I signed up for it to be full-time. They call it a part-time job. And to cover this area, where House District 7 is the biggest area in the state.
Big footprint.
In terms of on the House side. Yeah. It's the largest area there is. Yeah. So you just got to work. And I'm used to working all over the Southeast anyway for our company. And so there's nowhere I can't be in this district and be home at night.
I got you.
That's a good thing. Maybe late, but at least I can get home at night. And that's a blessing.
Those four little girls looking for you, especially
that's
Christmas
right.
time.
And I want to be there. I want to be there when they wake up. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. But you know what, Brian? You do. You turn your hat around backwards and you get it done. You don't complain. Somebody needs something in Liberty County, you go. You got to be back over there in Lafayette County, the other side, you go. Taylor County, Madison, Wakulla, it doesn't matter. You just get it done. You don't complain, and you have a good attitude, and you do all you can to help.
If you could imagine this district, and particularly, let's say, North Fork or the Panhandle area, 10 years out, do you think that we're on a fast track? You expect a lot of change will happen?
I don't think there's any change that happens quickly, and usually when change happens fast, it's reactionary, and no good ever comes out of reactionary policy or reactionary change to something you're afraid of. So when it's planned out and when it's promoted and when it's thought out and well vetted, that kind of change usually turns out to be the best. So in terms of Tallahassee, I think in the next 10 years, it will continue to change and evolve and grow, and I think that's great. And there's some things in North Florida, I think, that are going to help that as well as you continue out through the Panhandle. I mean, look what's happening all over here. There's just they're running out of room and they're running out of good water down south. So the Villages continues to grow. But I think that has the opportunity in the next 20 or 30 years to change and kind of evolve up here. Some people won't like that. But at the end of the day, this is a great place to live. We're not going to be able to keep it a secret forever.
What do you like doing most? If you're not legislating, if you're not talking to the people, how do you spend your time?
Man, I wish I could. I love being with my girls right now. That's the biggest thing. We went to dinner last night. Great example. Got dressed up and just went out to dinner. Nothing special. No occasion.
Yeah.
And we laughed and giggled, and I enjoy that as much as anything. And so anytime I can get a chance to do something with them, that's what I enjoy. That's what makes me happy.
That's cool. With those folks who look to government for more assistance, more help, and we've had a number of those folks in our studios who are involved in that kind of work, whether it's the Early Learning Coalition or Kids Incorporated, there are a lot of very good organizations that look to assist families in need, even those that are near and dear to our hearts, like Christmas Connection and our work in trying to help them. You think that government needs to do more or less, or are we doing all that we should be doing?
I'm glad you brought that up, Brian, and this is important. Well, part of the problem is I'm so tired of the Republican versus Democrat thing that we seem to hear all the time. This political warfare that we play on the parties, particularly at the federal level, not so much on the state, we've talked about that, but it's killing us. And so I don't care who you are, political party aside, I don't think anybody out there wants to deny help to someone that genuinely needs help. I don't care who you are. I think that if there's someone in need of it and you have the ability to try and help them out, that you want to do it. And I think everybody's that way.
Yeah.
And so you have some good programs out there that help people that really need help. And I am for them. And I don't think that there's a Republican or Democrat right here that sits on either side that would disagree with that. Mm-hmm. But there's only so much you can do. There's only so much help mm-hmm. you can give. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we have some programs and we have some things that where the money may be wasted, and it ruins all the good that we do. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you have to hit the reset button and go back and try and figure that out. And that's where special needs people, or you go over there down to Wakulla County or Franklin County, and you see Farm Share hand out blankets and food to people that show up who are hitching a ride to get there and have nothing. That's when you know your dollars, you're getting the bang for your buck, and that's when you know you're doing the right thing.
Representative Halsey Beshear is our guest this morning. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Folks, we are at the conclusion of this hour. Glad you've been with us. We encourage you to stay tuned. We'll be back after the break with more. And thank you, Representative Beshear, for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Absolute pleasure, Brian. Merry Christmas. I hope all is well with you.
Blessings on you and your family. Thank you so much.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
So here you go, folks. We're going to go into this segment with Heather Thomas, who is standing by, and she's got one of Tallahassee's Women to Watch, a feature brought to you by Tallahassee Woman Magazine. And we're so pleased to have her with us. So, Heather, let's talk about Women to Watch.
Welcome to Tallahassee Woman Magazine's Women to Watch. I'm Heather Thomas, editor of Tallahassee Woman. And our December-January cover woman is here with us today, Tanya Wilkins. Tanya is a longtime advocate for disadvantaged children and those in foster care and has worked closely with the Florida Baptist Children's Home. She was formerly the state advocate for foster care and adoption for the Governor's Office of Adoption. She is married to David Wilkins, and they are proud parents of three lovely daughters. For this current issue of Tallahassee Woman Magazine, now circulating, we focused on the theme of making the connection. And in our discussion, Tanya, it's really all about the connections that we make in life. And you can look in that at that on a surface level as far as making connections to better your life. And in some ways, that's true. But it's really deeper than that. It's making the life-giving connections, those connections that give you hope and give you a future and give you an ultimate purpose. And you have a great quote that really illustrates that for us.
Well, you know, Rick Warren is one to say that we're all made for relationships. You know, in Genesis, it tells us that it's not good for man to be alone. We have worked through so many children's crises and situations and realized that really the relationships and the connections is how they can get the hope that they need to move forward. What we realize is that, you know, when the chips are down, we need each other. This is the simple idea that we wanted to bring life connectors to the forefront and into existence. We don't have a resource problem. We're the most prosperous and resource-rich country in the world. We don't have a vision problem. We have people that are filled with goals, companies, all that in the United States that have goals and opportunities ready to realize, achieve, and be embraced. And we don't have a people problem. We have people ready and willing to work together. There are businesses seeking to help. There's churches filled with folks seeking to serve. but we have a connection problem. There's a rising generation of young adults in crisis. These children, young adults, are looking for a future full of challenges. And Life Connect exists to connect these young adults to resources, opportunity, and loving people that can empower them and partner with them so that they can have a possible and bright future.
Yes, and one of the reasons why this came to the forefront for us as a magazine was it seems like this time of year really inspires that connecting desire. We all kind of feel it or really long for it. And that desire just doesn't go away when the holidays are done and the presents are open. And we're talking about the desire to be loved, the desire to have meaning. And that's, you know, really what Christmas and the holidays and looking forward to the new year is really all about. That we're not promised every day, that days are precious, our moments are precious. And what would it be like if you were a young adult and you had no hope, you had a terrible family situation or no family at all, and you had no clear way to the next stepping stone? Can you tell us a little bit about maybe one of the young adults that you are working with or will be working with?
Yes, absolutely. We have come in contact with so many children and young adults that just need that helping hand. We had one young lady that was able to spend some time with us in our home. And, you know, what I realized is that she just needed guidance. She did not have the parents there that were willing to support her in the way that she could know that she would could go forward in school or the self-esteem. There was times when she did not believe that she was capable or even deserved good things in life because she had been told that for years and years. And when she came to spend time with us and spend time at the children's home and different mentors that did come to her and say, you do deserve the best, to see her brighten and start to believe that was an amazing thing. And once they believe that they can have a future, which Jeremiah tells us that, you know, God wants us to have a, he has a hope and a future planned for us, is that what we realize is that they then start to believe in themselves. They will open their heart and they will start to love and trust in those ones that have spent time with them. And we have one young lady now that's in college, and she overcame all that with so much help and so much belief in her that she could make it, and she's doing beautifully.
And we talked about also how these children, young adults, are have been part of this cycle, and it's so important to break that cycle because adults who might have read the article or read the article or listening to us right now are in that cycle and are still trying to break out of it or trying to break out of it for their children's sake. And you have seen personally the importance and the redeeming aspect of breaking out of that cycle, which ultimately with the lifeconnectors.org, which is what Tanya and David are currently focusing on, that is something that you want to help do so that these children can one day become life connectors themselves.
And the people out there said, I want to help. I want to get involved with the young adults, you know, so that I can help them move forward. It's been so exciting.
It has been exciting, and it has really, really proven true as to how we are all connected and how powerful that is, that every day you get to wake up and have the opportunity to make that connection with someone else, to make a difference, whether it's the person that's checking out your groceries or the person getting gas next to you at the gas station, or your children's teachers, or someone who, you know, again, stepping out of your comfort zone, who's needing help and you just want to drive on by, but you stop and you help. It's those everyday things that you think, oh, I'm doing this for someone else, but it really ends up ends up blessing you too. And that's, again, the cyclical quality of those life-giving connections. So if you want to find out more about Tanya and David Wilkins and what they're doing, definitely check out lifeconnectors.org. You can also read the article about Tanya in this issue's magazine. And you could also go to our Facebook page and to our website, towelwoman.com. Be sure to download the Layer app. That's L-A-Y-A-R. It's a free app, and you can use that to scan over all the pages in the magazine and get some extra YouTube videos, tweets, comments. You can pin things. It's super cool. I hope you can check that out. Thank you so much, Tanya, for being with us today. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you out there. This has been another segment of Women to Watch from Tallahassee Woman Magazine, and I'm Heather Thomas. Thank you.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have in studio the very famous, capable, able man about town, Tim Linnefelt. The Linnefelt Sports Report in a special edition, expanded for your listening enjoyment, because after all, am I not right, Mr. Tim, that these days, as a sports reporter, it's like your little pencil's getting worn out. There's just a whole lot to talk about.
It really is, man. It's something that we really haven't seen around here in quite some time, you know, with Heisman Trophy candidates and national championship games and undefeated records and all that. It's certainly a stark contrast to what we saw in the mid to late 2000s, and it harkens back to days that I guess, you know, with the 90s, that I guess they're farther away than they feel sometimes. And so it's been fun sort of seeing this unfold.
Were there those moments, I should say, in the season? Because for most people, it was sort of like, yeah, right, they're going to go in and just trounce everybody. Were there those moments when you were sort of, I don't know, I mean, I know that you were a little hesitant to call some of those games, particularly, of course, the Clemson matchup, or you tell me, I don't remember.
And that one made me look real smart, didn't it?
Well, I mean, nobody knew.
Well, you know, before the season, I think the biggest question surrounding this team was the quarterback and the defense. Well, we got our answer on the quarterback pretty quickly when Jameis Winston goes and has the day that he did against Pittsburgh on Labor Day. I think he complete 25 of 27 in his first, I think, 11 or 12.
And then just stood there on the sidelines and smiled and said, any questions?
Yeah, basically. You know, basically. So with that kind of in your back pocket, you know you've got a good quarterback. And even, you know, 3 months ago, they didn't know just how special he would end
up being.
We've
talked about this kid who walks out there playing baseball,
yeah,
and is playing what, left field,
right field, and he pitches too sometimes,
and throws from the back fence to home plate on one toss,
yeah,
and he's spot on.
Yeah, so maybe we should have seen it coming. I mean,
holy smokes.
I don't know.
I'll never forget. I looked at Annette, I'm like, did you just see what he did?
Yeah.
And made the play.
Yeah, for sure.
Goodness. And made the out.
But, you know, to go back to that Clemson game, you know, I think that going up there, winning that game the way that they did, just in complete, you know, dominating fashion. You know, I remember sitting there watching that and thinking, okay, well, you know, Florida State's off to a really good start here. They forced the turnover on Clemson's first drive and then scores. Oh, you can't ask for a better start than that. And then Next thing you know, they're up 14-0. You're like, oh, okay, here. And then you sort of start looking around. And you say, hey, this thing's going to be a blowout. Wow. You know, this isn't going to be competitive at all. I think Clemson had, you know, maybe a little stretch in there that they had an opportunity if they wanted to get back in, and they didn't take it. Next thing you know, Florida State's up, you know, has 24 points at halftime, and it's mm-hmm. on its way over. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I think you're saying, okay, you know, you look at that game, what they did to that opponent on the road, and then you look at the remaining schedule, and you say, hey, I don't know that there's any losses on here. Not really, and not with the quarterback playing the way that he's playing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, mid-October, you're thinking, okay, this really has a chance to be something special. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really the most interesting and the most special part about it is, you know, not that there was some great comeback or some miraculous fourth quarter play or some time when all the chips were down. No, it's just that they've completely overwhelmed everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, these games have been over by halftime, and you know the second and third string guys were playing in the third and fourth quarter.
Right.
Otherwise, right. You know, they could right. name their score.
Or as I'm sure the coaching staff likes to refer to it as. The future.
Well, you know, and that, as funny as that sounds, I mean, it is.
That's how it works.
Well, it's valuable for those guys because how often do coaches get to evaluate their young talent in an actual game situation? You know,
yeah, if we're seeing next year's team.
We're seeing 2 years from now's team, 3 years from now, and so that's a luxury that not very many coaches are afforded for sure.
Yeah, and it seems to me that Fisher plays that well. He was accused of not running up the score and worried about BCS points and all that jazz. Clearly, that's well behind him and was never any great concern, apparently. And his focus was really on the development of his team and looking at that long-term history or long-term future.
Well, more often than not in college football, you know, we always get to that point sort of midway through the season when there's three or four undefeated teams. You look at their schedule, you think, oh, I don't know. Again, I don't know. There's a loss on there. You think, well, what are we going to do at the end of this year when we have Alabama undefeated, Oregon undefeated, Florida State undefeated, Ohio State undefeated, whatever. I mean, that's what we were talking about 2 months ago. Well, it didn't happen.
It all went
that
away.
Way.
Yeah.
It turns out that Florida State won all their games. They're the only team in their division, the football bowl subdivision, I guess they call it now. They're the only undefeated team there. They beat every team, you know, just
And it seems like most of the people in your business are not big fans of the BCS anyway.
You know, it's
mixed bag.
I don't have a problem with it the same way that that other people did. I am looking forward to the playoff next year. I think that'll be a better situation.
Yeah.
Although you have to laugh, not to get too far off topic, but it's funny to think that if the playoff system were to begin this year, the Florida State in all likelihood would be matched up with Alabama, the one seed versus the four seed. It's like, oh, gee, well, congratulations for that. You know, thanks a lot. That's great. So it'd be funny to think, but you know, I think that the Florida State, you know, their chief goal, as silly as it sounds, is to win all their games. You know, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I don't think anybody, and it's certainly now that they've had this undefeated season and made this run, I think maybe they can talk a little more candidly about. You know, losing at NC State last year by a point, or losing to Virginia, or losing to Wake Forest, those kind of, you know, those stumble games.
Well, that's an observation I've heard you make before when we've talked over the years, that when you're playing at the level that Florida State is playing, when you're in that exclusive club, it has become an all or nothing situation. You know, one loss is the season. You know,
it
so
certainly can be. Yeah.
Whereas for most teams to go even, you know, to have a winning season, you might have four losses.
Sure.
So, do you think that in that regard, do you think that the legacy has returned? Do you think that we're seeing what's likely to be the situation for the next several years?
Yeah, I really do. You know, we've kind of talked, and you know, it's sort of over the lunch table talk, you know, of ranking the, you know, if they were to go on to win the national title, where does this season rank among the greats in Florida State history? And, you know, I think from a pure, you know, dominance standpoint, this is it, man. I mean,
you know, and one observer said here a couple of months ago, yes, Alabama is a great college team. Here's the challenge. Florida State is playing like a pro team, or at least their quarterback is playing with a pro attitude and putting himself out there and, you know, not looking so much at avoiding injury, perhaps, or even just winning that particular game, but sustaining a drive. He has that knack.
It's been pretty impressive to watch that, you know, Jimbo and a lot of coaches, you know, they like to talk about, you know, what they call the process, which is, you know, handling all the little details to make up the big picture. Kind of like, you know, you might even say like a mosaic or something
right.
And it's the kind of thing that, you know, as you know, the media likes to roll their eyes at and say, you know, it's just kind of cliche jargon sort of thing. But, you know, the players buy into that. And I think there is something to be said for the fact that, you know, if they buy into that system, begin to have some success with it and say, you know, okay, man, we beat this team by 40 points. Well, okay, we're going to stick with it for another week. Oh, man, we beat this team by 50 points. Mm-hmm. It snowballs and an avalanche is, you know, it becomes an avalanche, and now everybody's buying into this system and it's paying off. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's maybe the number one challenge as a coach. Well, the coaches have a lot of challenges, but, you know, when you when you preach this system and say, if you do everything right, you'll be successful. Mm-hmm. Well, every team doesn't win every game.
Right,
you know, so if the player does buy in and it doesn't pay off, well, and now your foundation, maybe it's not cracking, but it's not as steady as you would like it to
be. Well, some credibility.
Well, Florida State never had that problem this year, and so I think it just built to this point where you're seeing a team that's both really good and really confident,
and very confident, very disciplined, folks. Florida State University football heading to the national championship in Pasadena. We've got Tim Linnefelt here for a special expanded edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts. 656-8800. Give us a call.
We're talking with Tim Linnefelt here. The Tallahassee landscape is absolutely bristling with news and excitement about the fact that Florida State University football is headed to the national championship in Pasadena. And we have our good friend Tim Linnefelt here with an expanded edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report, talking about, among other things, this very unique individual, 19-year-old quarterback who plays like a pro, has a winning attitude like Pat Boone. I mean, you feel like you're just talking to your best neighbor down the street, and yet he finds himself embroiled in the middle of what turns out to be this nationalized scandalous claim, all of that sucking away for trying to suck the life out of, we might think, at least some of the joy. In a lot of people got really ticked off at the fact that this woman was even bringing the accusation. Mm-hmm. What's your take on all that?
That's a pretty broad question.
Well, that's why I ask it.
No, that's fine. I'm
giving you room to play here.
You know, with the knowledge now that we have, you know, that last week that the state attorney's office did not press charges, you know, I think it's a little different lens to view this thing through than maybe it was a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I can comment really on what it was like being around FSU during that couple of weeks and sort of, you know, the experience of that. And it was really, it was almost sort of like a cloud had sort of settled over, you know, what had been nothing but sunny days for a while. You know, I think
this
sort of, you know, it blindsided a lot of people.
Was the talk open? Were people saying, golly, or was it just sort of unsaid? Everybody kind of had that look on their face like, yeah, let's not talk about that. Or did it roll?
A little bit of both. You know, certainly at FSU, you know, almost nobody talked about it. Certainly while the recorders were rolling, you know, players and were under strict instruction to not comment on it. Mm-hmm. Jameis, of course, was under instruction to not comment on it. Jimbo Fisher wouldn't comment on it. So, you know, it's just sort of one of those, you know, elephant
for PR reasons and for the legal reasons. Absolutely. In fact, an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one of
could hardly get TPD to talk about it.
Exactly. So. You know, but it's one of those everybody in the room, you know, the elephant in the room kind of thing. Everybody knows that this is going on. But, you know, here we are. We're asking questions about, you know, Syracuse's defensive backs or what have you. And and that's just the way that it kind of was. And then, you know, the Thursday deal with Willie Meggs and then Jameis Winston's attorney both holding their press conferences and just what kind of a surreal scene that was with, you know, the
describe
mob.
Describe that for us.
Well, it's just, you know, in Willie Meggs's office, there's just a mob of reporters, you know, wall-to-wall people, you know, cameras and recorders, and just a lot of heat. You know, it was pretty warm in there with so many
figuratively
people
figuratively as well as literally.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, an hour or so later with Jameis's attorney, Tim Jansen, holding a press conference essentially on the sidewalk outside of the courthouse on Monroe Street. And so you can imagine what that's like, just the sea of people right outside, you know, right down basically across from the state capitol building. And you've got, you know, people driving by, rolling down their windows, honking their horns, doing their tomahawk chops and yelling for Jameis and all that. And, you know, it was, like I said, it was surreal in that, you know, just decided that he wouldn't face charges. And so, you know, people being what they are, they, you know, especially football fans, you know, their natural reaction is to be happy about that. And I do understand that, but it was just really strange to see people. You know, they had a group of students that their pictures were online that, you know, they came with their shirts off and, you know, JAMEIS painted on their chest like you would at a game. And it was really weird for the game day experience to descend upon, you know, what was what I at least felt, you know, was a, if nothing else, a pretty somber
should have been
legal proceeding, you know,
turning it into another game or another show.
Right. Kind of and I just, I'm not sure how.
Well, certainly there's a lot of crossover there. I mean, you couldn't be on Facebook or Twitter without seeing that same sort of sentiment going on in both directions. I mean, some people saying, well, wait a minute. We don't know whether or not he actually did this, and if he did, and if it was a criminal act, what are we doing here? We're trying to look the other way because of our obsession with Florida State football and our passion for this championship and potential. So you had that side of it, and then you had the people who got all bent out of shape because this Espen reporter decided she was going to take the opportunity at the end of the ACC championship game to press one more question. And I think the question was loosely stated, you know, why did you remain quiet during that investigation?
Sure.
And you were there on the scene at that. What happened?
Well, basically like you described it, you know, the ESPN reporter asked, you know, Jameis a few questions about the investigation. And I was nearby there, but I'll admit the scene or just sort of a swamp of people and confetti and all that. So I didn't get to see very much of it firsthand.
But he was pulled off.
He was.
They weren't going to let him address that question.
No.
And the question was, why did you remain quiet? Maybe kind of a stupid question because it should be obvious.
Well, do we not know why? Because I know why. Because he was told to. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, it is unfortunate that I guess, you know, the way the system, you know, apparently works, or certainly the way that his attorney believes it works, is that your best bet, regardless of you know, guilt or innocence, is to remain quiet and not say anything. And now, you know, the public at large, you know, if you're innocent, we would like to hear you say, no, I'm innocent and I didn't do this.
Right.
And it's easy to jump to the conclusion that says, well, if he's not saying that, then he must, you know, there must be something there. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's certainly, you know, a 19-year-old kid who is under, you know, strict instructions from a lawyer, well, he's probably going to do what he says.
Well, the thought I had in regard to some of the reaction with that whole interview at the end of the game was the fact that here was a reporter doing her job and she was asking questions about the outcome. And, you know, of course she's going to include a question as to, gosh, it's been an unusual time for you, which is essentially the nature of the question. What was that like? And how did you deal with it? And his response, I thought, was salutary. He said, I know I've got to get better. And I think he implied, at everything I do, so not just on the ball field. Well, that's a rather remarkable comment from a 19-year-old to say, you know what, I messed up, I can do better. That for us who stand by, back and want to get sort of self-righteous about, well, you know, it's all about the game. Well, we got to remember we're talking Florida State University,
right,
which some national publications have dubbed the drinking and sex capital, you know, campus of the world. I mean, you can't be on YouTube and not see some of the videos that have been produced that leave you wondering, is this really what students at Florida State are all about? And you'd hope to think that, well, it must be just a very small segment of the total population, and maybe it is, but golly, folks, I mean, what are we talking here? I mean, is anybody really surprised that this kind of stuff goes on? No, it goes on all the time. It just so happens that it infringed upon, you know, our guy. And so I guess I'm a little concerned that we go a little too far, I think, in our sportsmanship sometimes.
No, absolutely. You know, I got a little uncomfortable with, you know, I think there were a lot of portraits painted during the 3 weeks or so that we, when we didn't know what the outcome of this thing was going to be, that sort of painted, you know, Tallahassee as a lunatic, mm-hmm, you know, football bloodlusting town, mm-hmm, and anything that, mm-hmm, got in the way of this train deserved, mm-hmm, whatever happened to
exactly
it. And look, I am sure that there is that percentage of people out there who did feel that way, but I think, you know, by and large, you know, there were a lot of people who were just like, you know,
whatever.
It's just we don't know what happened. We don't. There are allegations, but
yeah,
you know, you have to remember that this is a unique set of circumstances in that we shouldn't have known about this.
Hmm.
When, you know, there's no charge, there's no arrest made. You know, those types of investigations usually aren't made public. You know, it's because it was leaked to the media that we found out he was involved in this thing. Now once somebody is arrested and charged, then it comes out. But by and large, people are investigated by the police or by the state attorney, you know, frequently,
yep,
and you never know about it if nothing comes of it.
Right.
So it was a strange situation, and
yeah,
you know, it's certainly easy, especially in the age of, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all that, to fire off a rapid opinion, and you know, everything is sort of unfiltered on there. So if you see somebody say you know something unsavory, it's easy to take that and think that it applies to, you know, a broad group of people, and maybe it doesn't.
Right. We're talking Florida State football here with our good friend Tim Linnefelt in an expanded edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. Tim, have you got time? Can you stay through for one more?
Oh, sure.
Let's continue after the break. We haven't talked at all about the game, so let's get to that.
Right.
Folks, stay with us. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merrymaids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's why we rely on Merrymaids right here at our studios, because, you know, I need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merrymaids make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even free consultation. And as a new customer, when you sign up for 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400, because they'll spend that first visit doing the deep cleaning you've probably been wanting to do for yourself. But don't do that. Call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done. Right here in Tallahassee, 386-2205, or online at merrymaids.com. So we're talking with our good buddy Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report, a regular feature here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And by the way, we are now in our expanded two-hour version or a broadcast of the show. You know, we grew from an hour now to 2 hours. And glad that you've decided to stay with us here, Tim, in this portion of the show, because we have the opportunity to talk now about the big game in Pasadena, the national championship at hand.
That's something.
Florida State. What? Tell us how this is all going to roll out now. Pull out your crystal ball and give us your best prognostication.
Well, at this stage of
what's the spread? That's all I want to know.
I think last I saw, Florida State was an 8-point favorite.
Yeah, yeah,
And I think that might get a little bit higher.
Mm.
I actually read something the other day I thought was pretty interesting. They had a story about an Auburn, I forget where it was, an Auburn fan who, before the game, put $100 down on Auburn to win the national championship at 1,000-to-1 odds.
Whoa.
So,
whoa.
He's got a pretty big ticket sitting in his hand.
My goodness.
And you know, he said that if he's gonna hedge his bet a little bit and put some on Florida State to balance it out.
Maybe
either way, you know,
idea,
if Auburn wins it, he's got a lot of money in his pocket.
That's
so
interesting.
So anyway, I think Vegas expects Florida State to win it. I think most of the college football world outside of the Southeastern Conference footprint expects Florida State to win it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the SEC fan bases quite accurately, I think, point out the fact that, you know, the Southeastern Conference has won 7 straight national titles. You know, and it's you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best kind of thing. And so they're confident as well that Auburn's going to get the job done. So I do think it's going to be a really interesting game. I think, you know, that the nearly month-long layoff between games. Mm-hmm. One, I don't really like that. I wish they just play this thing this weekend.
I know. Get it done. Mm-hmm.
But I think the month-long layoff, you never quite know how that's going to affect either team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some teams, they're fine. Some teams aren't. And you just never really know until the game begins. But that's something you know, that I think will be interesting, especially I think Auburn – their offense is based on rhythm and kind of, you know, reading the opposing defense. And, you know, when you're playing every game week after week, play after play, you really kind of get locked into that rhythm. So the challenge for Auburn over the next 30 days is going to be to maintain that rhythm for January the 6th,
right?
Knowing that they won't have played for...
And they certainly haven't played anybody with the substantial kind of... offense that Florida State represents, or would you disagree? You think
certainly
different?
It is different. I think they've played some really challenging offenses.
Yeah.
I don't think they face an offense that does what Florida State does as well as Florida State does it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sound like you're sort of too in love with them when you lay out, you know, the fact that, you know, Florida State just has so many offensive weapons. You know, they have 3 wide receivers who are all within about 1,000 yards. They have a running back who's about to be 1,000 yards at 1,000 yards. I think they saw that they can be only the second team in the history of major college football to have 3 1,000-yard receivers and 1 1,000-yard running back.
I mean,
that's a lot of production.
Well, and when you look at Auburn, Alabama, some people said, well, Auburn didn't win that game. Alabama lost that game.
Yeah, and to take it back even to the Georgia game with that crazy Hail Mary where the guy pops it straight up in the air and into the arms. And again, you know what? Those plays count. They do, and those wins count. So I can't take anything away from them. And, you know, if you're Florida State, maybe you're worried that, you know, the hand of God is going to come down.
What do you think Nick's asking Santa Claus for Christmas this year?
Maybe a new house in Austin, Texas, if we're reading the news reports right. Who knows, man?
Well, I mean, you know, Texas got all the money in the world, so, I mean, they could have whatever they want, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah. I think I got to think Alabama can find it too. To digress, I think the only reason that Nick Saban would go to Texas is because he wants to go to Texas, not for any other reason. Mm. But to get back to it, yeah, that's kind of the thing. You know, Auburn beat Alabama, but, you know, if you take a straw poll of college football fans and you said, who is a better team, Alabama or Auburn, I think most of them are still going to say Alabama.
I remember, it's been said often, but when you are the underdog, you're looking for those trick plays or trickeration. And so when you're looking at Auburn, golly sakes, they certainly pulled the ultimate trick play at the end of that game.
Yeah,
what will they do? What do they have to do to win, to beat Florida State?
Well, and I do think there's a path for Auburn to beat Florida State. Their strength in their offense is in the running game. They have a quarterback who's very good at running the ball. They have some running backs that are really talented and can really make people miss. And I think that's really important in the system that they run is, and they kind of most systems are like this. You know, we'll block everybody but one, but you got to make somebody miss. And if you can do that, you can get a lot of yards. Well, Auburn's runners are really good at that. So that works, twofold. In that, one, it keeps Auburn on the field. It chews the clock up because the clock runs when you run the ball, and most importantly, it keeps Jameis Winston and his band of merry men on the sideline. So, you know, if Auburn can kind of run the ball with some success, chew the clock up, and keep the ball out of Jameis Winston's hands, you know, this can be a close game in the third and fourth quarters for sure.
Well, in fact, Florida State has demonstrated their weaknesses too in those games when in the first half everybody's going, ruh-roh, you know, somebody didn't show up at practice. What happened here? Then they make their halftime adjustments and they come back and they go crazy. Yeah. You know, they just nail it. You expect that to happen here?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's, you know, I think you look at the last two games they've played, you know, they had a relatively slow offensive start against Florida, who admittedly does have a very good defense, and they were tied 0-0 with Duke at the end of the first quarter, which I don't think anybody was genuinely concerned that they were ever going to lose that game. But it was, like I said, it was the first time Florida State had been scoreless in the first quarter in something like 14 games, so it doesn't happen very often. But no, I think, you know, if you have to wonder whether or not a team is going to be dialed in for a national championship game, they're probably not a good enough team to be in the national championship game. And I think, you know, with the few weeks of practice that they have to get ready, just knowing everything that's on the line and knowing this team's track record of mental preparation, I think they're going to be pretty sharp.
Well, the date is January 6th, the national championship, NCAA football BCS national championship in Pasadena, California, at the Rose Bowl. The matchup, of course, Auburn Tigers, Florida State Seminoles, Coach Jimbo Fisher and Coach Gus Malzahn.
Malzahn.
How are they different in their coaching style, do you think?
They're both offensive guys. I don't have a whole lot of experience with Gus. I've never met him, never dealt with him or anything like that. So that's a difficult question for me to answer. Mm-hmm. Offensively, you know, Jimbo runs more of what we kind of like to call a pro-style offense.
Yeah.
And really that just means it resembles the kind of offenses that teams in the NFL run.
Yeah. Real fast and real hard.
and Auburn is more of a – they run a variation of the triple option where they run the ball and the quarterback can either keep it himself or give it to a couple different options at running back. And the idea is to kind of, you know, misdirection, deception, get the defenders, you know, maybe chasing the wrong guy, mm-hmm, wondering where mm-hmm. the ball is. And it can be effective, especially if you have the right guys to run it, but you don't see it in the NFL very often.
Tim Linnefelt, our very good friend and host of the Linnefelt Sports Report, a regular feature here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny every Saturday morning, 93.3. Glad you've joined us on this momentous occasion, and we'll look forward to having you back. As we get past the game, we want you to come back and talk about post facto conditions. We know you're going to be busy for the holidays. Merry Christmas to you, by the way, my brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And that's what we've got for you this week. We're glad that you've been with us. Don't forget, TallahasseeTalks.com is the place to go for more of what you love to hear every week if you've missed one of our broadcasts. We'll be looking for you next week right here at 93.3. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.